Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another version of Love Your Human Design. I'm your host, Peter Rowe, and today we're going to continue in our series talking about profiles. Today we're going to take a look at the 2-4 profile, the Hermit Opportunist. And playfully, the title of my blog post on this was come out wherever you are, because the 2-4 is a hermit and is an opportunist with a social network. I'd like to introduce my co-host, Reverend Rick, from revrick.webs.com. Reverend Rick, as you know, was a spiritual peacemaker and a human design specialist, among many other talents. Reverend Rick, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Peter. Good morning. Glad to be here.
We're glad to have you. I'd also like to introduce a couple of guests that we have this morning. They're 2-4 profiles, hence why part of the reason why they're on the show. The first is our friend Judy. Judy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. Nice to be here.
And the second is my son, Theron, who is also a 2-4 profile. Theron, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
So, again, we're talking about profiles, and profiles are a personality attribute of your human design. And Ricardo, I was wondering if, can you just, again, because we may have some new listeners, can you take them through where does the profile come in the chart, and, you know, and how do you get that?
Absolutely. Anytime you have a chart created, you notice there's a listing of all the planetary positions or planetary symbols on the left-hand side of the chart. And the first row there, starting with the sun, shows the two gates that are activated by the sun, one in red, one in black. The one in black is the personality. The one in red is the design. And each gate is I like to think of it this way, each gate is a flavoring of the type of expression that energy can take. For instance, head energy is thoughts and inspiration, and that can take either a logical expression or an abstract expression or a deep thinker type of expression. A further breakdown of the gates goes down to the lines. Each gate gets broken down into 6 lines, and the lines are designated by the little exponent-like number, slightly above the gate activated by the sun, or by any of the planetary positions. But the gates activated in the sun on the personality side, you'll see a little exponent right there. That is the first line for the profile. The line from the gate activated by the sun on the design side is the second number. So in this case, anybody that has a 2-4 profile, for the gates active in the sun, you'll see a 2 as the exponent on the gate activated on the personality side of the sun, and you'll see a 4 as the exponent on the design side. How's that?
That's perfect. Thank you, Ricardo. And for those of you that have your chart, I'm sure you were able to follow along just fine with Ricardo. If you don't have a chart, if you're new to human design or you don't happen to have yours with you, we have Judy and Theron's, and hopefully Barb is going to join us later, who is also a 2-4 profile. And we have those out on the web at loveyourhumandesign.com. And if you look on the right-hand side, Peter's blog, there's a tab, Peter's blog. Click on that, and then underneath that there is an article, Profile 2-4, come out wherever you are. And that title, come out wherever you are, is referring to the hermit. As I said before, that's the second line, and that's what we'll talk about first. The second line in the profile really gives a characteristic of a drive that wants to be alone, that wants alone time, that needs its hermit space, that needs to get away from all the other energy that's going on in the world, whether it be other people or other things, activity that's going on, it really needs its alone time. And so that's a very strong characteristic of, I would say, probably almost all 2-4 profiles that they have this drive that they need to be alone. Now, the interesting thing is, and this kind of, in my mind, ties into the law of attraction. It's really, in human design, is really about the energy of your design, but it's also the way the energy works with everybody else. And so the second line profile people, they're putting off this law of attraction or this energetic signal that tells the other people around them, these people shouldn't be alone all the time. They need to be called out. They need to be brought out from being a hermit. And so for the most part, I would say most 2-4s are not allowed to be a successful hermit. They're not allowed to be squirreled away in their cabin all alone or their room all alone all the time because they get invitations. They're called out of their aloneness or being alone. Ricardo, do you want to add to that? Or?
Sure. Actually, I was just thinking one of the I like to think of things in terms of balance. And not only does a second line profile need to take that alone time, but for those of you that are out there listening, if you do have a 2 in your profile, please understand this does not mean that you are meant to be antisocial. The alone time for the hermit is really a time to seek out those creative energies that allow you to find expression that can then be shared with others. Because as Peter said, the hermit is the line 2, the hermit energy is a projection type of energy where it projects out from the inside to others and draws them to you so that they can then draw you out of your shell. They will come to you. They will ask you for your input. They will ask you for your insights. But the alone time is necessary for you to develop the kinds of expressions you're going to give when these people call you out. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And that really ties into, I've heard Ross speak about the second line profile people. Part of the reason they need this alone time is that's when their integration happens. So if you take an example of you present a whole bunch of information to a second line person or somebody that has a 2-4 profile, they will probably not necessarily be able to respond cohesively to all that information on the spot. They need to take that information, have some alone time. Maybe it's a new thing. Maybe it's human design that you present to them and you give them all this information and say, hey, what do you think? The second line person is going to be better off and it's going to give more of a cohesive response if they have that alone time, are able to integrate that information, and then come back and share it with you, or share what their thoughts are on that.
Absolutely.
Now, when I sent out the article yesterday, I had Victoria from California sent me a comment, and she cited a man by the name of Chetan Parkin. Ricardo, have you studied any of his work?
No, that name's not familiar to me.
So I had seen it once before, but anyway, so she had a great comment. She's a second line, and he talks about the second line being or needing a state of naturalness and described it as if you think of the 6 lines of a plant and in the first line you've got the seed and it's germinating and the 6th line, which is role model, is a mature, fully mature plant. Then the second line, it's the seedling that's just sprouted and it's just broken up out of the earth and it's in a somewhat vulnerable state that it really needs time to just be and just be itself. And that's the definition that she shared with me about this naturalness. She said it really resonated. Victoria said it really resonated with her. And I think I see some of that, you know, the second line, they just need to be. And so part of that protection, I guess, I would say, of just being sort of in that vulnerable state while they're integrating integrating the growth to get to the next level, you know, it tends to be a hermit type or a lone type activity. Your thoughts on that, Ricardo?
Well, I'm as a 5-1, I don't have the the second line in my profile, but I do have a lot of alone type of energy, and I can resonate with, as a matter of fact, of the three alone gates in a person's chart, or potential alone gates in a person's chart, I do have two of those active in mine. And so I do resonate with that very highly in terms of the aloneness being a time of creation or a germination period where things just, whatever thoughts get implanted, whatever seeds are planted in the ground, I need that alone time to really allow those thoughts and ideas and projects to germinate and to grow and to take on a life of their own. If you think of it as everything is energy, energy, once it's put into motion, will continue to grow. And depending on what kind of energy it is, it will either come back to you or it will just radiate out from you. And for me, I've discovered that my alone time is very, very much a necessary part of my development and growth. And in that regard, yeah, I totally understand and agree with what you're saying.
Well, let's go to the 2-4s. Judy, are you there?
I am, Peter.
All right.
I have come out of my shell for you all.
you what? I missed that.
I've come out of my shell for all of you.
thank you. So it sounds like you do hermit.
Yes, I do. It's weird because as a 2-4, you've taught me kind of the whole picture. And as you stated before, it doesn't mean that someone who's got the 2-4, who's a hermit, is antisocial. Because as a matter of fact, I can be extremely social. And the people that are near and dear and close to my heart that hang out with me actually expect me to be fun, crazy, life of the party Judy all the time. So I guess what I find challenging is for people to understand me, and I'm just learning to understand it myself, where I have to honor the times where I'm hermit Judy, where I need to just be alone. And I've always loved being alone. I'm not afraid to be alone. I don't mind doing things by myself. I actually like it. But the challenge comes with, I feel like this profile has, it's such a yin and yang, opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to being understood, because you literally can feel like you're two different people. And the challenge with being, when I'm the hermit Judy, is that, like, exactly like you say, I'm surrounded by people who understand me. And I've actually opened up to let them know this is who I am. I think that's extremely important for our types. You have to surround yourself by people who understand you and get that there's going to be times where you're going to say no to going out with them, and there's going to be times you're going to be, okay, yeah, I'm going to go, and you're not going to really feel like it. But once you go, you're going to be so glad that you did and that they pulled that out of you. So I think the real challenge is, okay, today, if I don't really feel like doing it, am I supposed to be staying home and honoring the hermit-like qualities and thinking about creating, or is it just that I really need the push today? So I don't know if other people with our profiles feel like they need some help with, okay, when do I say yes to going out, and when do I know that it's really okay to stay home and just be?
And that's well put. Because I think that is a dilemma for the 2-4, or can be, especially if they get in situations with peer pressure. Now, Theron, you're a junior in high school, and so you potentially face some social situations where your friends want you to come out, but you feel like you need to have your alone time. Have you found that?
Yeah, I have, but luckily all of my friends are pretty understanding, and even if at first they're a little upset that I can't go out, they all learn that sometimes I just need some time to myself, and other times I'll definitely go out with them and have a good time, but they've learned to realize that I do need that alone time sometimes.
And just to share a little story, Theron was out with his friends last night and stayed over at a friend's house, and it was picked up this morning. And according to his mother, he was a little bit grumpy about having the commitment to come on this show. And again, I would say it's probably because he'd used up that energy about being out and about, and even just being on the show is not allowing his two downtime to happen. Would you agree with that, Bud?
I'm happy to be on the show, but something I've realized as a second line is that when I go out and do something, oftentimes when I come home, I'll need my alone time, and some people often view this as just relaxing and walking around the house doing whatever you want. But for me particularly, for the most part, I actually need entire solitude. Entire solitude, but often I'll need to be in my room with the door closed and just have a few hours to myself. I'll go out and get something to eat and interact with my parents for a little bit, but often when I need to recuperate on my own, it often does take a few hours where I just have time to myself and can just connect with my, I don't know what you'd say, but inner self, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good point there, and it's not just quiet time, because even being alone, there's often music that's you can hear from the hallway when he's alone. And coming out of her shell, just joined us, is Barb from Canada. Barb, welcome to the show.
Hi, Peter. Hi, everybody.
And
thank you.
And
yeah.
We're Barb.
Yeah.
Barb, we're talking about the second line and being a hermit. And how's your experience with that?
Yeah, definitely. I need that time alone. And as I said to you just on the internet now, I've just been coming out of that little seedling place, I think. I'm sort of feeling like I'm in some alternative reality, stepping back out. It's been kind of a wild and crazy time for me in the last several months, and I really haven't had that alone time. And it's almost, it's been a real, really strange experience, because trying to get back into it and trusting that that's where I'm meant to be has been a real challenge for me, and sort of that not feeling alone in the alone time. Knowing that this is what I need at this time, and that, with meditation and having quiet time and listening to music and that kind of thing, that I really am sort of putting my pieces back together and feeling that there's a lot of information that I'm receiving that I need to do, to make things a little more cohesive. So for me, it's nature, it's just being still, it's meditating and having some candles around and just trusting that that's exactly what I'm meant to do. I'm not being lazy or, not kind of getting it together, that it's in that alone time that I am getting it together.
Yeah, you bring up several great points, that it can be in your room, like Theron talks about. That's probably his perfect spot. It could be outside, like Barb mentioned, or it could be doing meditation somewhere. You can potentially be alone with other people. Our teacher, Karen Curry, used to talk about how a couple that are both 2/4s or both second line profiles, their perfect night together might be sitting on the couch reading their own book and not say a word to each other. They're getting their alone time, but they're also getting the, we'll talk about it, the fourth line foundation in a minute. So let's go back to Judy. Judy, do you feel like you have a good balance in getting called out, that you don't really have to work at getting called out, because it just happens because people recognize that you need those opportunities?
Yeah, I do. And it's amazing, because I have to say, I often worry that there'll be a point where my friends, quite honestly, kind of give up on me, because I even daily, I think of calling people, and I have a really great network of friends, and a lot of them, and they're really wonderful people. But, you know, it seems to always be one-sided. They're calling me, they're making the plans, and, you know, I might want to, but I don't ever really feel like it. So I struggle with them, you know, just, I guess, worried that someday that I will have less friends because, you know, they don't know when I'm going to feel like interacting. And I think sometimes people can actually take that personal, that, you know, we're just going to stop calling her. And I have lost a couple of friends, I think, because of it, but I know that that was meant to be. So, I constantly get called out, and people are always coming to me. So if any of my friends are on the line, I want to say I love them and don't give up on me.
Covering all bases there, huh?
That's right.
And Peter, if I may interject?
Absolutely.
Judy, you bring out a beautiful point, and that is one of the great gifts of human design is truly, truly getting to a point where we understand ourselves and can help other people understand us. So anybody who's a 2-4 out there who's associating with what you're saying, I hope they understand and can get to the same point that you did in terms of knowing that you're not being antisocial. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing that needs to be fixed. It is a natural part of who you are, and if people will just be a little patient with you, they can call you out when it's appropriate for you to come out.
Yeah, and thanks for adding that, because I, again, in the interest of service and helping other people, because I didn't just get here overnight. It's taken, thank goodness for Peter, helping me to recognize, because I think sometimes people with our profile can really, like you said, I've had days where I'm like, oh, what's wrong with me? How come I don't want to do anything? How come I'm antisocial? You know, I should get out there. I should be doing, I should. So, and then as I'm getting older, is it hormonal? Am I depressed? So I think some people, it's such a strong point to make. There is nothing wrong with us, and I'm so grateful to know Peter and for him to help me to recognize that I'm finally starting to really honor who I am and enjoying that, and so aren't the people around me. So thank you, Peter.
You're welcome. You'll get the check tomorrow.
I want a massage, too.
Okay. So, Theron, how about you? Do you feel like you have a good balance of being called out?
I very often get called out by my friends. In fact, it's pretty rare that I invite myself or invite to hang out with them. It's more often the other way around, just because I think they realize that they need to call me out if plans are going to be more likely to succeed. And I've had I myself have had experiences where I'll hang out with people for an extended amount of time, and I'll need that alone time. And when I finally come back and crash and have that alone time, I have had a good time, but I'm kind of run down and need time to recuperate for, I guess, even a longer amount of time.
Mm-hmm. And Barb?
What was the question again from the alternate reality?
Barb was checking in and out from the alternate reality.
Yeah.
You know, on the chat line, there's a little conversation going on about that too. The question was, do you feel like you get called out? Do you have to work at it, or does it just happen?
No, I think I do get called out, and I, you know, as you know, I've moved recently to Guelph and don't know very many people here. Have a very good friend, but I'm slowly meeting people, and probably right now, I think that there are choices that I'm and to meet people that I'm kind of backing off from. I'm actually using my to make some choices about where I want to go and who I want to hang out with right now. And I think it's a process. It's kind of that protection, and it's also knowing that I need to be in that place of silence and working through some things. And kind of what I'm doing too is, you know, I'll go out and have some Indian food somewhere and have people around me and, you know, kind of tune into some of their conversations and stuff. And right now that almost feels like enough. So, and I guess the other thing about the 2-4 is, you know, your friends, I mean, it's been so great to know you guys and to know Ricardo and everyone else, because it's like I can be called out by you without having to go out. So I think it's I know that soon I will be back out there with people and meeting more people and all of that. But right now I'm really doing the two part of the 2-4, I think.
Mm-hmm. And I would add too that if there are second line or 2-4s out there that aren't getting called out, especially with the 2-4, you need to focus on, and we're going to talk about this next, your foundation, your network of people, because it's from your network that most of that calling out is going to happen. And then secondly, most 2-4s that I have met can talk to anybody, anytime, any place. And it's almost like that profile has an unwritten invitation to start up a conversation with anybody. And so then, as Barb was talking, she's in a new location, having that energetic design, having that ability is a great tool, because then from those conversations, you're going to get things based on your design, your strategy of your design, whether it be an invitation or whether it be something to respond to or just informing if you're a manifestor. But you're going to get an opportunity based on those conversations you start up. So let's shift gears to the fourth line. Ricardo, would you please take us through what's the fourth line? What's the orientation there?
Where is the party? Let's get this party started. As you said, these are fourth line profiles have now jumped the gap from the internal environment to the external environment. First, second, and third line profiles are all about the inward journey, the inward environment. Fourth, fifth, and sixth line profiles are all about the outer environment. And so fourth line profiles are really very social beings, but they, as you said, they create foundations wherever they go. They like foundations, good solid foundations in relationship with others, not just as friends, but also as partners, life partners, love partners, business partners. You know, they make good, strong, solid connections with people, and they truly enjoy their social time, which makes the 2-4 one of those dichotomy type of situations. But the fourth line profile really does enjoy its connections with others. And it's known as the opportunist, but not in a negative sense. It's the opportunist because, as you've mentioned, Peter, most of the opportunities in life will come to these fourth line profiles through their connections, through their social networks.
And I would add, you know, another foundational piece. A lot of times it's friends, it's the network, it's the family. But another foundational piece can have to do with job, or it can have to do with your housing. Especially, I think, with the 2-4, because probably for a lot of them, that alone time is going to happen in their room, in their house, in their apartment. And if that's not stable, they're moving, or they've moved out, but they don't have a new place to stay, then it's kind of like the ship on a rocky ocean, and it's that foundation is unsettled.
Right, and as Barbara said, you know, it's easy for her to be called out by you and I over here. We're, you know, Barbara, I think you're in which part of Canada?
In Ontario, not far from Toronto.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right. So you're not quite all the way across the continent from us, but it's a fair distance. But I'm guessing that as a 2-4, because you have that connection with us, you could actually pick up and move to this area, either the Boston area where Peter is or down to the Washington, D.C. area where I am, and probably have enough of a foundation through your connection with us to feel comfortable with that move. Mm-hmm. But as Peter said, you know, unless you have that foundation built, a fourth line profile is not going to be very comfortable in that kind of shift.
Mm-hmm.
So that foundation comes from the connections wherever they happen to be. They don't have to be connections that are, you know, a neighbor down the street. It can be, as you have mentioned, Barbara, that, you know, connections wherever you've made those connections, wherever those people are, that's what's going to help create that foundation.
Cool.
So Judy,
my sister just brought some property in Nova Scotia, so I'm hoping she's going to build some foundations up there. Yay!
Yeah, actually, Barb, let's stay with that. You have been doing, you know, you've just gotten to Gulf, and you had been doing some roaming around. So how did that, how did your foundation feel about that? Did you get a little antsy?
Yes. Well, I think I was really tired. I was going through some big health issues and knew that where I was not where I wanted to be or what what was feeling right for me anymore. And that's, you know, that's partly the OpenG as well, as we talked about before. But it, I was antsy and I was very tired and I really didn't know what the best place to be was. But I actually, it was from my foundation. It was a number of friends who said, you need to go to Guelph, and also a friend who arrived at, a gal who arrived at the cottage, Atherton, a number of years ago for a retreat we were doing, who is a medical intuitive, and I knew that I needed some help from her. So, you know, it was like the connections were there, but it just took some time to figure out where the best place to be was, and it feels really comfortable here. It's still a process, and I haven't, I haven't gotten to know a lot of people, and as I said, I'm sort of in the seedling spot right now. So it was exhausting. It was uncomfortable. It was, oh, I'll just try and pretend that I'm living in my car. You know, I was able to do that. And I was also with a variety of different friends, but it was very, very tiring for me. So, yeah, it was tough.
So you basically sought out foundation from your car,
mm-hmm.
and from the friends that you had, but it still wasn't quite enough to make you feel comfortable, right?
Right, right, absolutely.
And that's a big factor for the underlying of the foundation, that it's a drive to be comfortable. It's a drive to have that cohesiveness that's going to give you comfort. Judy, have you had a situation where your foundation has been threatened, or you know, an experience like that where you were leaving one thing, moving on to another?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess I could talk about my divorce just quickly, because I guess there's all different definitions of foundation, but it was a situation where I knew wasn't where I belonged, but because of my profile, it took me quite a long time to make the decision to move on and to actually take the next step, and as a matter of fact, it took me about 4 years. And I think the point is that we really do need to feel like we're grounded, like we have the comfort. And I think what I find is with anything, with any change or anything that we're uncomfortable with, that's probably more of the major decisions in your life, is that you have such a feeling of insecurity and unknown that you are often in a place, I find myself often in a place of indecision and feeling really stuck. And I don't know if there are other personality attributes that probably contribute to that. But I recently put my house on the market because I thought, you know, I'd like to live a little more simpler, have a lower mortgage. And I put it on the market, and I, for whatever real reason, I just wasn't feeling like it was the right thing to do. Things weren't working out. There were a lot of signs, and I took it off the market. So those are probably the only examples that I can come up with where I really felt that I didn't have that foundation, and I was afraid to move forward and not sure if I should move forward or not, or if it was signs telling me that it was the wrong decision.
In that process, when you had your house on the market, you never really, I know you were looking for maybe a place to rent, and you never really found something that you were like, or you were also looking to buy, and you never found either a great rental or a great replacement.
Right. And so, as you said, there was no comfort. There was no, excitement and comfort. Okay, I can feel the new foundation. I can see it ahead of me. I feel, you know, I see it, and it's the right thing to do. It started to feel more and more uncomfortable, and where I was, like you said, on a rocky ship that was going to sink if I kept going down the same trail.
Exactly.
And Judy, if I may ask, in regards to your story of your divorce, I'm going to guess that in those 4 years, you were probably building up the emotional support system that you needed to feel a good solid foundation below you before actually taking that separation step.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And again, I put the intention out there. I think, again, in anything that you do in life, any of the profiles, if your intention, my intention was for myself and my children and my ex-husband to have a harmonious relationship, whether that be together or not. And again, Peter and Nina, I just started to get connected with more spiritual people. And I work for corporate, and the first experience I had was we had a wellness day, and I actually met someone that did Reiki, and it sounds funny and silly, but ever since that first Reiki treatment, it just opened up the doors to meeting so many people who I felt comfortable with talking about it, because people, quite honestly, when I got divorced, people were absolutely shocked. They thought we were the perfect couple. What went wrong? To this day, they're still thinking we're going to get together, and it's 4 years later. So I was very good at hiding what was going on, that my foundation had a big major crack in it. So yes, exactly what happened is I finally got the courage because of my foundation and support system from my friends and my belief system that I knew one day. I also heard the song from Natasha Bedingfield the day I decided to move out of the house, a week after I had major surgery, and it was her song Unwritten. So it all, there was definitely a foundation that was laid and supported me.
And Judy, you breached into sort of the next topic that we were going to move on to. You got an opportunity, you got this Reiki treatment, which opened the door to a new network, essentially, for you.
Yeah, absolutely, it did. I said, what the heck, I'll try this class or this treatment, and it was a 15-minute freebie, and I ended up taking the woman's card, and I said, you know what, I'm going to treat myself, and I started to go to her, and funny thing is I actually met Peter and Nina I decided to take a dowsing class. It was fun. I just started to dabble in some new things. I was open. I became very open, and I think sometimes it bothers me, and I kind of have to say this on the air, is when people go through major changes and they turn to religion or spirituality or whatever, you are viewed as being cuckoo, and I think that's just a misnomer. That's not true. So, I mean, I feel like it was an awakening for me, and I really have found my true self. So that one action just opened up a whole new world to me, and for me to be more authentic as I'm getting older.
Thank you. That was a great story. Theron, have you had any opportunities that have come your way that you felt like have opened the door to a new world or opened the door to sort of a new thing that's entered your life?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head, but you were talking about adjusting to new situations, and in that sense, I right when you mentioned that, I kind of thought I thought of two ways I had major changes in my life. One was when I started going to a new school, Moses Brown, and in fifth grade, I was excited to make that transition into a new school, and I was I elected to go there, and in that case, I felt very confident when I went to the new school. I did really well in school, and I made a lot of new friends, and I had it was just a really positive experience. And in contrast, when I was kind of forced into a major change in going into high school, at the same school, but still a big transition, I didn't make it as peaceably, I guess you could say, I had some trouble with some of my teachers, and I didn't do as well at first, but it, after a couple of, or more than, mainly just a year of adjusting, I started to enjoy it a lot more, and my grades improved significantly, and now I'm doing a lot better at the school, and I'm enjoying it a lot more. I'm enjoying more of my classes because I've made that adjustment, and again found confidence in my classes and in my teachers.
And you had made a comment to me about you had somewhat of a similar experience on the varsity soccer team this fall, that at the beginning of the season you weren't totally comfortable with how you were playing, the position you were playing. You had probably several new teammates that you hadn't played with before, and you sort of had that same experience. It's almost like in each of these situations that we're talking about, you've gotten a lot more comfortable, you've performed better as your foundation has gotten deeper.
My coach was actually one of the teachers I had freshman year who I liked as a person, but I didn't really enjoy his class that much, and I didn't do well in his class. So at first, there was no tension, and we both got along well with each other and both liked each other, but I just there was just something there that posed as a wall, I guess you could say. And at the start of the season, the coach was more making me try out positions that I had played in high school some, but I didn't enjoy as much as midfield, and wasn't as comfortable as I was playing midfield. And so in preseason, he had me play defense a lot, which I wasn't as comfortable with, and wasn't as confident in, and didn't have as much of a foundation in, and so I didn't perform as well as I wanted to, and so I didn't get much playing time. Once the season actually started, he decided to put me back at midfield, but since he had spent a while trying me out at defense, I didn't start out with much playing time. But as the season went on, actually the coach said this himself at the end of the season at our soccer banquet, that as the season went on, I made it hard for him to take me off the field. Because I just each game that I played, I had more and more confidence, and just built more and more of a foundation in that varsity soccer team, and got really comfortable with my position and everyone on the team, and look forward to going back to it next year.
Thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
And Barb, how about you? Opportunities?
Mm-hmm. One of the, I think, the big opportunities, and the way that I met all of you is that a friend of mine told me that her aunt was going to James Twyman Seminary, and I had read his book but didn't really know very much about him, and her aunt, Kathy Mann, had suggested to Mary Bath, who at the time was about she was about 27 years old or so, that she should come with her. And Mary Beth was telling me this at a party for her dad. And when Mary Beth said that, I said, well, then I guess we're all going. And it was like, it was through a social network, having known Mary Beth's dad for a long time and then known Mary Beth since she was born. And Mary Beth had been the one who suggested that I take a look at James Twyman's book. And so it was like a life-changing experience that was brought to me by my foundational network, my friends. And I ended up, it was a gigantic leap for me, because I really had not been studying a lot about spirituality. I guess I had been, but not to the depth that other people had. And it was really a huge leap that really changed my life. So it was definitely that foundation of friends who I'd known for a very long time who brought me that, and continues to expand on it all. So, yes.
And again, so like Judy's story about the Reiki session, this is an opportunity. This is why the fourth line is called an opportunist. This opportunity came through the social network, and it can come from a best friend, or it can come from human resources that happens to be putting on, you know, a Reiki clinic or, you know, an alternative thing. And so it can come from anywhere in your network. If you're a fourth line person and you're looking for change, or you're hoping that there's change in your life, keep your eyes peeled on your network, because that's where it's going to happen. It's not going to happen from pounding the pavement. It's not going to happen from going through the newspaper. It's going to happen through your network, somebody you know, somebody at work, something like that, that's going to give you this opportunity, that's potentially going to open the door to a huge new network that you never even knew existed. So at this point, I'd like to move back to the charts. If you are just joining us, you want to go to loveyourhumandesign.com. And on the right-hand side, Peter's Blogs, there's a tab there. Click on Peter's Blogs. There's an article, Profile 2-4. And in that article, down at the bottom, there are some charts. And Ricardo is going to walk us through a mini-reading of Judy's chart.
Okay. Hey again, Judy.
Hey. Everybody be kind.
There's no such thing as being kind. It just is. All right. Actually, Judy, I want to focus on some things that you mentioned earlier when you were telling the stories about your putting your house up for sale and things just didn't feel quite right, and sometimes feeling stuck and even in your divorce holding on for too long. That's a lot of that is looking at your chart here. You have an open head and an open spleen, and one of the themes of the open spleen is to hold on to things for longer than you should. Now, in your case, I think it's probably appropriate to say that you were holding on to your husband and that relationship probably longer than you should, but it was an opportunity for you to build the foundation that you needed to move on, you know, the foundation you needed to be able to move from that relationship and either stand on your own or move into a different kind of relationship. And in that sense, you know, your spleen was kind of helping you in your own energetic theme there. The other thing is you have a defined sacral center, that red square in there. That's what makes you a generator. Now, you are known as a manifesting generator because you do have a motorized connection to your throat. And in that sense, that means that you have the ability to initiate. You have somewhat of an ability to initiate, but really what your design is all about is for you to go out there, let people know what it is you want, what it is, make your intentions clear, let people know what you're interested in, what you want to do. That's putting energy in motion. Once you speak that, thoughts are all energy, but once you speak that energy, it goes into motion and it gathers momentum and it comes back to you in a way that you can then respond to it. And that's your 2-4 acting again. When you put that energy out there, it's going to go through your social network. It's going to go through your fourth line opportunities, and it's going to come back to you in a way that you can then utilize your sacral center's energy to respond to it and say, either I'm drawn to this or I'm not drawn to that. Does that make sense?
It does. And to add to that, does that mean that when opportunities, because I think, I don't know which part of my chart this is, but Peter's explained to me, there will be things that do come to me, and it's having to step back, knowing to step back and sit on it and think about something before I respond.
Yes, and that would be the emotional solar plexus there in your chart, the brown triangle on the right-hand side. You've got a lot of energy flowing through that. That's actually the motor that's connected to your throat. Now, actually, you have three motors. You have your sacral, your root, and your solar plexus all connected to your throat through that same channel. But the solar plexus carries with it an emotional wave. It is the emotional center. It's a motorized center. And emotions, you know, we all experience emotions in terms of the ups and downs of the emotional roller coaster. People talk about that all the time. For you specifically, it's an emotional wave that when you're in the wave, you need to give yourself time to wait, to sleep on things, sleep on the major decisions. The reason for that is we're always told, don't make a decision when you're angry. Well, the same applies when we're happy. Don't make a decision when you're happy. Wait until you're in the middle where there's not an emotional influence on that decision. Clarity comes in the middle, not at the highs and not at the lows. And people that have that solar plexus defined generally find themselves traveling in that wave. And here again, we go back to that concept of there's nothing wrong with me. If you're experiencing, you know, a shift in your emotions going upward, that's okay. If you're experiencing a shift in your emotions where it's going downward, that's okay too. It's all part of the same process. It's one wave that keeps on going, and it keeps on cycling through the ups and the downs. And every time you're in one extreme or the other, it's okay. Just remind yourself, it's going to change. Whatever my wave is, it will change, and eventually I'll get to the middle where I can make clear decisions. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And Peter will probably have a follow-up show, and we can go through all of the examples where I did not follow that advice.
Woo!
I gotta get off that surfboard.
All right. So, Peter, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you now.
All right.
See, I'm on one of my highs.
Well, thank you, Ricardo. That was a great overview of her energy, and you know, much about it, Judy can attest. It's much about, you know, some of the stuff that I have talked to her about in terms of understanding her design, understanding herself. Okay, so let's. We still have a little bit of time left here. Let us take a quick look at Theron's chart. And Theron's chart, if you look at Theron's chart, he was talking earlier about he gets exhausted with his friends. He gets exhausted at school when it's been particularly grueling, exams, that kind of thing. And if you look at his chart, he has just the root in the spleen. And so he has just one channel. He has just two centers defined. He's very open. He's so open that he's very vulnerable to the energy around him. And so when he's out with his friends, he can take on that energy. He can amplify it. He can be the life of the party, but he can also get burnt out. In addition, because his only channel comes from the root center is the pulse motor. And I've actually seen a fair amount of this, that if you have a design and really it's oriented towards the bottom and all of your channels come from the root is a pulse motor, and the root is going to be off. It's going to go on, and then it's going to be off, and everybody's cycle is different. But if all of your power is really emanating from the root, when your root goes off, you need downtime. Because you don't have, the root is all about getting things started, and you no longer have that energy to get things started. And if you don't have the energy to get things started, you certainly don't have the energy to finish things. And if you push on it, then it's just not going to go anywhere. You're going to end up using a lot of energy, and you're not going to be getting much for it, and you're potentially going to be wearing yourself down. In Theron's case, if you look at this, his spleen is powered by his root. The spleen is the heart of the immune system. When Theron gets worn down and his root shuts off, his immune system has lost its consistent access to power. He's more vulnerable to getting sick. And Theron, you've really experienced that cycle. You had a point in time where it was just about every month you were sick for a couple of days.
Yeah, and yeah, definitely. And since I learned that, it's been much easier to manage when I get sick. But there are still days where I'll stay home from school, not because I'm fully sick, but because I can tell that I'm getting run down and that I really need to recuperate and just regain energy to prevent myself from being more sick, because it's better to just take one day off and rest the whole day than keep expending yourself and get sick for the week.
And that's a great point. And you know, we enable Theron to do this. It's important if you're a parent out there and have a child with a design that's similar to this, that's keyed on the root, that if the child has this cycle of getting sick, that you can step in, you can have strategy, and you can, if the kid's really run down, keep him home for a day, because that might save 2, 3, 4 days of sickness down the road, a week or so. Well, we're getting near the end of the show here. We've got about 4 minutes left, and Ricardo, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but are you still scheduled to have your class coming up?
Yes, I am, actually, and I've scheduled it for 2 days. One is this coming Wednesday and the week after on Wednesday also from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And it will be a foundation class. In other words, when we do a foundational reading for somebody and we go through and especially somebody who's not really been exposed to a lot of human design concepts, it takes time for them to understand, okay, this energy center does this kind of processes this kind of energy, that energy center does that kind of energy, you know, the difference between the head and the ajna, the root and the solar plexus, all that. This class will go into detail about each of the energy centers, the gates, the systems that are foundational to human design so that people can understand where it's all coming from. And we'll even get into some of the energy circuits that are prevalent in the system. And as an added benefit, people who sign up for the January class, I'm doing it 2 weeks in a row, people who sign up for the January class get a $10 discount on the class, and they can sign up or get more information by going to my website, revrick.webs.com. Just click on the calendar link, and on the calendar you'll see for January 20th and January 27th, it'll be listed there. You can get some of the information from there, and there's a link for more information and to register.
So again, that was revrick.webs.com, and click on the calendar link.
Right. And there's a link within that calendar description that will take them to a site that I'm currently building. I'm building a site that's going to be specifically for the classes and the informational stuff that I do. So don't be surprised if the link takes you somewhere else. It's still my website. Just another aspect of it. So, Peter, if I may, I'd like to just say one thing briefly about Theron's chart.
Absolutely.
Theron mentioned earlier that his friends all seem to know that for things to run smoothly or for plans to succeed, they need to call him out. And I just wanted to point out that he is a projector. And as a projector, his strategy is to wait for an invitation. And so I think it's absolutely wonderful that his friends understand that for him to be involved in it does require not just a calling out from his profile, but the invitation for his strategy as well.
And that's a great point, you know, and it also, it just brings together that, you know, when we talk about the profile, when we talk about different parts of the chart, that they're a piece of the whole. And in this case, you know, Theron's experience is going to be a little bit different than Judy's. Judy is a generator, and Barb, you're a generator too, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Theron in particular is going to need to wait for that invitation. Barb and Judy have more of an opportunity to just respond to things that maybe aren't quite as formal as an invitation. But
right.
But twos are going to get a lot of invitations anyway, just by nature.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'd like to thank my co-host, Rev Rick. Thank you again for a wonderful show.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
And I'd like to thank my guest, Judy.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a joy.
Thank you. And my son, Theron.
Thanks, Dad. It was fun.
And Barb from Canada.
Thank you from way up here in the snowy north.
This has been loveyourhumandesign.com. Love Your Human Design sponsored by loveyourhumandesign.com. next week's show, we're going to talk about the 3-5 profile. So please join us again next Saturday at 11 Eastern. Thanks for being here.
All right. Take care.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.